Let's take our Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 15 this morning. Luke chapter 15. Today we gather on a very special day every year that we commemorate and think about and celebrate our fathers. And I want to take some time this morning to honor our father. Now I realize when we talk about dad, that sometimes in some homes we have a father who is an excellent testimony, a godly example, who pointed us to Christ. And I say we learn a lot from dad, honor dad. And I also say for a dad who maybe wasn't a positive example, there is something that we can learn from his testimony and his life. That we don't have to go down that road. That we can learn from the issues and the challenges of dad's life. And that through Christ, you and I can live a set-free life. So there's something to learn about dad today as we look at honoring our father. You know, genetically, there are some traits that your father transmitted to you. There are some issues that you have struggled with your entire life, some characteristics that you have physically that you received from your father. And I'd like to take a moment just to share with you those items that are recognized as traits that you inherited from your dad. Your eye color comes from your father. Your height is something that you inherit from your father. Though I look around and I realize that in some families, there are some children that are a lot taller than dad, and you wonder, where in the world did that come from? Well, it was in the father's gene pool somewhere is where that came from. Your fingerprint. You have a fingerprint that is very similar to your dad's fingerprint. It's transmitted genetically. The way your lips are shaped are a gift from your father. Your teeth structure, if you have a crooked teeth or a gap in your teeth, that's something you inherited from your father. Mental issues. Your mother will agree to this. It all comes to the father's side. If you struggle with certain behavioral or mental issues, most likely it's because of the contribution of your father and not necessarily the pressures that he put on you, but biologically what's inside you. Your heart problems, whether or not you're going to suffer with heart issues later in life, you can thank dad for that. Also, your gender. Your dad determines your gender. Now, I understand that it can go one of two ways, but the contribution of your father, you can thank your father for the gender, for being a man or a woman. And then lastly, your fat storage you get from your dad. The way our body holds fat is a genetic contribution from dad. So don't blame it on McDonald's. Don't blame it on pizza, ice cream, and hot dogs. Blame it on dad. What do you give your father? After everything that your dad has given you physically, what do you give your father? And as I was looking at the words of Jesus this morning and thinking about the words of Jesus, I realized that, you know, I said just a few moments ago, you've got a father that's a great example, a father who's a poor example, but you can learn something from both. And you can also realize what Jesus wants us to see about his father. So we're going to take some time this morning and look at Jesus' father as we look to a passage that, well, it seems like it knocks down, strikes down, honoring fathers on Father's Day as we look to the words of Jesus. Should we honor dad or should we not? In Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 9, we find Jesus speaking to his multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them upon men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge their borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi. For one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth. For one is your Father, which is in heaven. Call no man Father upon the earth. Did Jesus just strike down our observance of Father's Day? Do we need to hit the altars right now in repentance because we have embraced or addressed our fathers? We recognize them as Father. But I want to invite you to look at the context. I want you to consider who Jesus has been talking about and understand that when we take scriptures individually, we can make them and shape them into any way we want them to spin. And we find ourselves to be guilty of the practice of the Pharisees to be able to manipulate the Word of God to achieve our ends. But this is what Jesus has to say about honoring your father. Even though I know he's just said, do not call any man father on the earth. These are the words in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9 concerning your father. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? The question they have is, Jesus, your disciples aren't washing their hands before they're eating. They're eating defiled. Isn't that wrong? And why don't you call them out for it? And Jesus says, you're concerned about my disciples. Let me ask you a question. How do you honor your parents? Verse 4, for God commanded, saying, honor the father and the mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Jesus, what is it? Call no man father, but honor your father. He's going to address an issue that's taking place in Israel in the time. It's about taking care of mom and dad. In verse 5, but ye say, who shall ever say to his father or mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father, he shall be free. Therefore, thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Here's what it is. The children of Israel are looking to the elderly and saying, you know what? Let's let God take care of you. We're not going to do what we need to do. We're going to trust God that your needs would be met, rather than realize that God put me here to help take care of you, mom and dad, at this point in your life. And Jesus is calling out the Pharisees because it's an acceptable practice. Older folks take a lot of work, and older folks need a lot of care. And it was okay for the scribes and the Pharisees to not provide that care. Just trust God to meet the need. Jesus is calling out the scribes and the Pharisees for not taking care of mom and dad. And I want to ask you, has the situation just been escalated? Has it been one up? They're asking about why his disciples don't wash their hands, and he's asking about why they don't take care of their parents. Not taking care of mom and dad is the issue that Jesus brings up. But it reveals that the scribes and the Pharisees are not doing it because they have no heart for the Father. Look at verse 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And Jesus calls out the scribes and the Pharisees for mouth honor versus heart honor. We say that we honor our fathers. We say that we love our dads, and we certainly do embrace our dads today. If we're able to, we're very fortunate to be able to go and give dad a hug today, tell him that we love him. Some of us, we may not be able to because dad has passed over on the other side. I think probably one of the great transgressions of the idea of Father's Day, that it's a day of honor set aside for one day a year. At least there's one day, Brother Clifton. But the honor that Jesus is speaking of is honor beyond a day. Everyday honor. For the children of Israel, the scribes and the Pharisees, who are calling out Jesus for his practice of not watching his P's and Q's, not minding his P's and Q's, and wondering why it is that the disciples can get by with this great transgression, and Jesus reveals a big transgression that everyone who is at the table except for Jesus himself has a problem and has an issue, that they don't have the Father's heart. The heart of the Father, we see, is seen in the Son, which takes us back to Matthew chapter 23, when we just saw that passage about calling no man father upon the earth. I want to call you back to the context of what Jesus is addressing. In verse 10, he says, "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even as Christ." He says, don't be called rabbi, don't be called father, don't be called master, because there's one, and that belongs to Jesus. "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." You see, the contrast of the Pharisees is they're exalting themselves. They love the attention, they love the accolades, they love to be recognized for the leaders that they are, when their hearts couldn't be any worse on the inside. Everything that they say doesn't match up with what they hold dear in their heart. Jesus calls them out in verse 12, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." And the takeaway we get from Matthew 23 is that, remember, you are not a child of the Pharisee, so don't act like a Pharisee. What's needed is to have the heart of the Father. Which takes us to Luke chapter 15. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads in just a moment as we pray for our service today. But the big idea that I want you to see is the one who has the Father's heart shares his values. That's a great way to determine how you honor your dad, whether he's a good example or a poor example. Let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to bless our time in the Word. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, and I praise you for this day that we do reflect and thank you for the fathers that have given us traits that we have, that's given us quirks and characteristics that people scratch their heads and say, well, that must be a son or a daughter of that man. They act just like him. And I pray that, Lord, today that you would give us liberation through your Son, freedom in your Son. You'd give us a love for what you love. Give us, Lord, the heart that values what you value. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus is sharing a table with sinners. That's what the context of the Luke chapter 15 is. He's going to introduce three parables in this passage, and I'd like to share with you the context so that we can embrace what Jesus is addressing. In Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 2, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners to hear him." This is the group that's gathered around him, the publicans, the sinners, the tax collectors, the unworthy, the people who are ostracized and the not the righteous people of Israel, the sinners. "And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Jesus has a group of undesirables, unacceptable, that he's sitting down to have a meal with. You're probably going to have a meal with your brothers and sisters today, maybe, to celebrate Father's Day. Maybe you're getting together with your brothers and sisters, your family members that you have, and you know, when you're a kid, you identify with the scribes and the Pharisees because you think about your brothers and sisters as the people that you just can't stand their guts and you just don't want another opportunity to get together with them. And then something happens when you get older, you look forward to getting together with your brothers and sisters. And it's amazing what age does to you to give you this mindset, this understanding what really matters. But the scribes and the Pharisees, they don't get it. They see Jesus as eating with sinners and with these publicans. And they're calling him out for this again. Haven't you seen the pattern? The scribes and the Pharisees call out Jesus for actions, for behaviors. Why is it that he's having a meal? I know right now there's a lot of movement in the mainline churches and churches around our country, the expression of you're okay the way you are. And we're going to celebrate that. But I want you to know that the message of the gospel is you're not okay the way you are. That's why Jesus came to give his life, so that you could have the Father's heart by seeing his Son who gives his heart and his life for you, who he wants to change your heart and give you a new heart, that you can live life as God intended and God designed, living in grace and righteousness, serving the Son. Yeah, you're special, but Jesus is the special one that we focus on each and every day. And there's a great heart test as to where you stand. Are you the most important person in your life? Is your father the most important person in your life? Or is Jesus the most important person in your life? I think when we get our priorities straight, when Jesus is number one, it starts to line up according to his teachings through the Word of God. We're going to see Jesus now give three parallels or parables to reveal his heart as to why. He answers the scribes and the Pharisees by telling three stories. He does the first so in a parable of the lost sheep. And in summary, the shepherd searches for his lost sheep in need. And then he talks about the parable of a coin. And in this parable, the woman does not give up until she finds her coin. And we look back at the shepherd. He's searching for the lost sheep. The woman is searching for her coin that has been lost. And the spirit and the statement at the end of every one of the parables of the two, including the third one, rejoice, the one lost is now found. As a matter of fact, when the shepherd finds the lost sheep, he goes to his neighbors and they rejoice with him because the lost sheep is found. And the woman, likewise, she goes to her friends and calls them to celebrate that the lost coin has been found. Which leads us to the parable of the lost son, where we're going to find our focus this morning. And I'm going to invite you to look at the words of Jesus with me this morning as we look at Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. The son has the audacity to come to ask dad for everything that belongs to him. Dad, I want everything that you owe me. I want all of my inheritance. I want every possession that I deserve except for you. What a terrible son. His statement reveals his heart. Dad, I don't care about you. I don't care about your house. I don't care about our farm. I don't care about anything but me. And I want it all right now. Now, we understand how inheritance works. You get that when the loved one passes away. And the son's request is almost as bold and as drastic as saying, God, Dad, I wish you were dead right now because I want everything that belongs to me. How that had to hurt the father's heart. Verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent unto him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks of the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. This lost son has hit bottom. He's looking at his job. And he realizes that the pigs that he's there to feed have it better than him. He's blown everything that he had. Everything that his father gave him. He had no regard for his dad. He had no regard for his inheritance. The only thing we find him having regard right here is for his belly. And in his impoverished state, hog slop sounds good. But in verse 17, and when he came to himself, he says, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare? and I perish with hunger, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And this lost son repents. He comes to his senses. He realizes that going home as a son, probably going to be a difficult proposition. But dad will hire laborers, and I could at least have something to eat. I know where to go. I'm not expecting to go back to be a son. I'm going to go back to serve my father. That's where I need to be. He comes to his senses, and he repents. And he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, get this, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. There it is, the father's heart. He welcomes his lost son home. The father sees the son and runs to him and welcomes him and hugs him and kisses him and does not receive him as a servant but as a son who was lost but has returned home. And the son says unto the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. The father rejoices, for his son is found. And he doesn't stop there by giving him a new outfit of clothes. He says, Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. And not that the celebration was going to be for the father and for the servants, but that the son would be the guest of honor at the celebration. And he wouldn't have to go to eat the hog swine feed. He wouldn't have to go back and just worry about bread. Dad is putting out a feast for his son and giving him a place of prominence. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You see one son that has wandered away, wasted everything. But the story doesn't stop there, because Jesus tells about another son in the household. Another son that was divided up the portion. It was given to him too. The other son who stayed, and he was working in the father's fields. He was there at home when his brother comes, and he's none too happy with it. He's got the youthful heart of a brother who can't stand his guts, so to speak. In verse 25, now the elder son was in the field. And he came and drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. The other son was angry towards the father's heart. He's thinking in terms of himself. I've stayed here. I've worked. I have wasted all of this effort. Staying here faithful and true to my dad. Doing the work. I have been working tirelessly. I have been serving dad. And I'm the older son. I should be the son of favor. And I am not the one that's being celebrated. This lousy brother of mine is the one who dad is throwing a party for. And he's angry that dad has received his brother. Pause right there. Remember, Jesus is having lunch with the publicans and the sinners. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, they're looking at Jesus and they're wondering why in the world he's celebrating with these unworthy people, these sinners. Verse 29, and he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any of thy commandments. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou killed the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And right there we see that the other son doesn't have the father's heart. given your place and given your standing, which one do you think deserves the party? The son who was faithful, who served and worked and kept his nose clean, served the father tirelessly, never left home, even though he had gotten a portion of his goods because the dad divided between the two. He's there working in the family business, and the other son that's gone off and thrown his life away, and he's come back home. Who's the one that deserves the party? The one who stayed or the one who went? The other son doesn't have the father's heart. The lost son did not have the father's heart. But we see the father's heart here in verse 32. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. I think it's important right now to answer, what does lost mean anyway? Because there's a couple of conventions on looking at the parables here. This is a story of someone who was walking with the Lord and walked away and comes back. I think that's an application that you can see, that there's a way back if you've wandered away. It's called repentance. Sometimes believers fall away and backslide away. Sin overwhelms them, but the Father is calling you home. It's not the model, it's not the design, it's not the ideal for the Christian life that you live life apart and outside of the Father's home. And if you find yourself outside this morning, come on back in. But the stories of all three, we see rejoicing going on for someone who was lost, something that was lost, and the rejoicing and the celebration that takes place because it has been found. And I think what's indicative here is Jesus is answering for the scribes, the Pharisees. He's hitting home the idea that being lost isn't something that has just wandered away. It can be lost inside the home like a coin. It can be working in the fields and not being found. Is it the one who strays away or the one that is lost inside the house? Is the question that Jesus is answering and providing us the answer for. Would you say that the lost sheep that wandered away was lost? Well, yeah, that's what Jesus said about it. The woman who lost the coin inside the house, tears your house apart, is the emphasis is on the coin being lost. In the parable of the father with the two sons, one wanders away and is lost. Clearly, he's terrible. He's a terrible son. And the other son reveals that he is equally as terrible. He's living and serving in the father's house, but he is just as lost as the one who went away. You see, coming to church doesn't make you holy. It doesn't make you get any more grace with God. Coming to church helps you be healthy. Serving and working in church is a great way, and the church needs laborers, the church needs help, but it doesn't gain you favor with God. Serving. We serve out of gratitude, not for receiving grace. So the son that stayed at home and sees it wrong, he's lost too. But what it means to be lost is to not have the Father's heart. You see, because the Father is the one who rejoices for his son. We don't see the Father rejoicing for the other son that was at home in the parable. We see him correcting the son. We don't know if the son comes to have the Father's heart. If he comes into the party, if he stays angry out in the field. This is where Jesus cuts the story off. We do find some parallels in the story between Israel's heart and Israel's leadership's heart. The ones that Israel's leadership, the scribes, the Pharisees, the ones that they identify as sinners are the ones on the fringe, the harlots, the tax collectors, the wicked people who have trusted Jesus, and he's celebrating a meal to him because they came to him as disciples. They are not there just celebrating who they are. They are celebrating who they are in him. Jesus is enjoying the company of these sinners transformed now into saints because they believe in him. There's the difference. The Pharisees can't see beyond who these people were. Jesus can, because he knows what he has the power to do, to cleanse a heart, to take away all unrighteousness, and they give you a new heart. And the Father rejoices for His Son. That's the picture of what it means to have the Father's heart. Because the one with the Father's heart would rejoice also, as the friends do, or the neighbors do in the parable of the shepherd. As the woman who goes to her friend celebrates, indicative of the celebration that's going on in heaven. And as the Father who celebrates His Son's return, the one who would have, who with the Father's hearts would rejoice also. And what we see in the parable is that neither son have the Father's heart. The one son leaves with no regard for his family, his fortune, his possession. But we see also the other son has no regard for his family, his father, or his possession. Because he's only thinking in terms of recognition. He's only thinking in terms of himself. Wish that dad would throw me a party for my friends. Dad doesn't love me because he hasn't done that for me. You can hear the immaturity, the self-centeredness as he speaks. And it's important to realize, especially for Israel's sake, that your DNA does not make you redeemed. It's not being born into a Christian family that makes you a Christian. It's being born into a Christian family that means you are going to be drugged to church. You're going to have to sit miserably in services until you become a believer and then rejoice to stand in worship the beauty of the Savior Jesus who's changed your heart, taken away your sin. For Israel, who's thinking, you know what? We are sons and descendants of Abraham. We're sons of the promise. We're the children of Israel. Our father, Jacob. We understand what that means for us. God's going to bless this world because we are special. And yes, God does bless this world because of his faithfulness to Israel. But Jesus is addressing Israel, the problems in Israel, and that people in Israel, including the leadership, aren't displaying the Father's heart because they don't have the Father's heart. It doesn't mean that because you got a position, the people in power, that you automatically have the heart that's required for that relationship. It's not in your flowing in your blood that you receive from your father Abraham or Isaac or Jacob. We also see that staying home does not make you right. In the parable, you've got the two sons, the one that wanders away and the one that stays home. And the one that stayed home was just as broken as the one that went away. It's just the one that went away learned the depths of his brokenness. And you say, oh, well, there it is. I need to learn. I need to wander away. I need to go and find out how lost I am. I need to explore that so I can find out how great God is. But I say to you, Jesus spares you that heartache and that misery by coming to faith to him today. You don't have to worry about how deep that depth is. Because I want to tell you, it's low and it's not good and it doesn't end up. And you'll find yourself longing for pig food before you come to your senses, or worse. We also see in the story that the Father's heart comes through faith. So wait a minute, where do we see that the Father's heart comes through faith? Remember, Jesus says in John 14, verses 6 through 7, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. The one who has the Father's heart believes in the Son. The one who has the Father's heart is the one who trusts in his Son. And that's a test this morning for what does it mean to be lost? Do you have the Father's heart by having faith in the Son? If you don't, well, John tells us in 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath not life. If you do not know Jesus, you don't have the heart of the Father. The scribes and the Pharisees don't want to know Jesus They don't have the heart of the Father. The sinners and the publicans, they are there with Jesus because they are following Jesus. He set them free. Three parables on lost and found. Honor the Father by receiving the Father's heart. That's the way that we honor our Heavenly Father, is by receiving His heart. And what does that even mean to receive His heart? Trusting in His Son. Believing in Jesus. Turning from your sin, repenting towards the Savior, confessing with your mouth, Jesus, it was my sin that brought you here. You went to the cross for me. You died. You were buried and you rose again the third day. And in faith, I believe that you did this for me, and I turn from my sin to you, and I ask you, Lord, to save me. And He promises that He will. It's too easy. You got to stay in the fields and work for it. No, it's by faith. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not by working hard at it, by trusting in Jesus. Honor the Father by receiving His heart. But the takeaway that we get from the parallels and the parables of the lost sons is honor the Father by loving His values. Remember the question that the Pharisees have for Him. Why is this man eating with sinners? The story and the idea behind it, the expression behind it, the emphasis is that He's celebrating with them when He shouldn't be having any connection to them. But He knows what has happened on the inside. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. In the terrible tragedy of the parable of the two sons, is neither one of them has the Father's values until one of them comes to his senses. When he realizes that his Father's love was there all the while. And he's willing to go back and exchange. He knows he can't come back worthily because he's thrown it all away. But you see in grace the Father who welcomes his Son, who restores his Son, who celebrates his Son coming home. And for the scribes and the Pharisees that reject, well, they don't have the Father's heart because they don't love what He values. They love the law. They love the attention. They love the long garments that they have. They love the prominent seats. They love themselves. That's what lost means. Honor the Father by loving His values, but also honor the Father by living His values. Because remember what Jesus said a few moments ago to the scribes and the Pharisees about the elderly? There's a difference between lip service and heart service. That you say you love God and that you say that you follow God, but you don't. You deny Him every day by your life. Honor the Father by living His values. For the sinners that Jesus is having lunch with, it's not said, it's expressed here in their transformation. He saves them from their sin. They're not going to continue down that road. They've been transformed, but I'm reading into the passage there when I say that, because I understand the expectation of what it means to be saved and to deliver from sin, to repent. It means that I turn from that direction and I don't go back down that road anymore. And that, yes, Jesus loves you as you are because He wants to give you all that He has through Him. And that He has the power to change your heart and to make you whole. You don't have to be perfect in order to come to Him. You're perfect just like you are in this sense. That you don't work, that you don't clean up, that you don't try to do anything you can to make the reparations other than turn from your sin to the Savior. Come to Him right now and He will save you. Because any other attempt is to try to add to what He has done, when in simple faith is trusting that you are who you are because you got it from your Father, but you did it to yourself. Your earthly father, our father Adam, is where we get this sin nature from. It is through Jesus that we find new life in Christ. Honor the Father by living His values. Make that change. It's what maturity looks like. Something happens, I said a few moments ago, when you get older and you look forward to getting together with your brothers and sisters. And if you haven't got there yet, well, That day's coming. Don't be shocked when it does. Remember this moment when I told you so. Honor the Father by living His values. And the takeaway this morning for us all is rejoice. You were lost, but found. There's not a one of us in here that is self-righteous like the Pharisees and the scribes that are expecting that God's just going to welcome them into the kingdom because they put in all of the effort. Because they've loved the law and they've kept the law. Entrance into the kingdom is through having the Father's heart. As we close, remember that big idea. The one who has the Father's heart shares His values. Great way to honor our Heavenly Father this morning is to do some self-evaluation. Am I following my own will? Am I choosing to live this life according to my dictates, according to what I think is right? Or am I following the Spirit's leading? And if not, may you surrender to the Spirit today. Lord, I've wandered away and I need to come home. Lord, I've been working in the house and in the fields, but I didn't have your heart and I need it today. May this be our prayer. Jesus, work in my heart to honor you every day.